Reverend Dr. Ohniba Enyani Bodum is the pastor of the English Chapel of Jesus Generation Ministries, Center of Victory, a thriving congregation in the heart of Accra, Ghana. He serves faithfully under the leadership of Apostle Enyani Bodum, the General Overseer of Jesus Generation Ministries worldwide. Dr. Enyani Bodum's teachings are simple, practical, inspired by God, and characterized by many testimonies. He holds an annual healing and miracle service, which has witnessed many miracles of healings, signs, and wonders. Testimonies of this are published in his healing magazine titled Healing Springs. Believe God's word, which you are about to hear, receive it, and be blessed. Now, listen to Reverend Dr.
May we encounter the glory. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Tonight is tonight. Tonight is the promised night. Tonight, I want to speak some Hebrew. Say Hebrew. Say Empire Ibija. Hallelujah. And that is my Hebrew. Hallelujah. For those of you non-Ghanaians, turn to your neighbor, tell him that was a powerful Hebrew. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Amen. Say, I am chosen for a reason. I am chosen for a reason. Say after me, ask for me and my children and my family, we are for signs and wonders. We are chosen for a reason. Give a hand clap unto Jesus. Romans chapter number 9, verse number 6 to 7, and then we go to verse number 10 to 13. I read. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac shall your seed be called. Verse number 10. And not only this, but Rebekah, when she had conceived by one man, even our father Isaac, the children, not yet being born, nor having done good or evil, so that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. It was written, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. The passage says that before we recommend that God is biased, so that we will not say it's not as if the word of God has not taken effect in Romans 9, 6. They are not all Israel. The fact that they are all Israel, the Israel of God, which is the promise of God, it's not all the people of Israel that are those Israelites. Say, I hear you. It is as if we are saying that we are not all. What the Bible says, many are called and few are chosen. That is it. They are not all Israel who are Israel. Neither are they all the children of Abraham because they are his seed. But amongst his children, Isaac, Ishmael, and the sons of Keturah, because he married again after Sarah died. The Bible is telling us that among them one was called and one was chosen. His name is Isaac. I declare prophetically that may you be the Isaac of your family. May you be the chosen of your family. And not as though the word of the Lord has taken no effect. Not to say that God is biased, because God is never racist. In the book of Numbers chapter number 12, God answered people who were deciding to be racist. When Moses married an African woman from Ethiopia, then Miriam and Aaron and all the others came to Moses and said, "How dare you marry this woman? Do you want to say that you are the only one that God can speak through?" And then God's answer to a racially provoked conversation was to strike Miriam with leprosy, cause Israel to stand still for 7 days, and rebuke them. So God is not racist. I want you to give somebody a high five. Tell him God is not biased. Not as though the word of God has taken no effect. But verse number 10 says, even so, Rebecca, when she conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, saw the children not yet being born and not done good or bad, so that the purpose of God, according to election, there is a purpose of God, and that purpose is what shall stand. And the Bible is saying that it does not depend on your good works or your wrong. It does not depend on whether you did right or wrong. I came here to announce to somebody that your righteousness does not depend on your hard work. He says, so that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. He decided to pick Jacob and leave Esau. May God pick you. I declare, may God pick you. I declare, may God pick you. In the name of Jesus. You are chosen for a reason. Tell you three stories, and then I'll dissect the word. In John's Gospel, chapter number 6, verse number 4 to 6, I read, "And the time of the Passover was near. Jesus and his disciples had gathered on the mountain. Then Jesus said to Philip, when he saw the crowd of people, that from whence shall we buy bread for these to eat? This he said to him, only to test him, because he himself knew what he should do. Then Philip said, 200 denarii worth of bread shall not be enough to feed them. Then one of the 12, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what is this in the midst of many? This is Apostle Dr. Bishop Jesus, stranded on a mountain with 12 disciples, with a situation that seemed unsurmountable." I'll tell you the next story. The next story is about Brother Jonathan, Prince Jonathan. In 1 Samuel chapter number 14, I will paraphrase verse number 1 to 5, and I will read from verse number 6. Verse number 1, the Bible says that they had gathered around, Saul and his armies were around, but they did not know that Jonathan and his armor bearer had escaped and tried to go over into the area of the garrison of the Philistines, and they had to pass in between 2 rocks. Jesus and the disciples were stranded on a mountain. Jonathan was facing the garrison of the Philistines this way, 2 rocks by them, and in between was a valley. Verse number 6, Jonathan said, I read, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of the Philistines, for it may be that the Lord will hand them over to us." Jonathan did not know what to do. Jonathan thought, it may be. Just like Jesus said to Philip, how and where shall we get bread for this? The last group of people I'll tell you about is in 2 Kings chapter number 7, about 4 lepers stranded at the gate of the border. And the Bible says that, I think in verse number 3, 2 Samuel, 2 Kings 7, I beg your pardon, 2 Kings chapter number 7, verse 3. "Now there were 4 leprous men, I read, at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here till we die? Let us go over into the camp of the Syrians, Because if we sit here, the famine is also in the city. If we go there and we die, we die. But if the Syrians capture us and they spare our lives, then we shall live. Four men stranded at the border with a problem that looked as if they could never overcome. One prince and his servant stuck in a valley with an enemy up here. Precious Bishop Dr. Jesus, 12 apostles, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and over 5,000 people to feed. But these were the elect and these were chosen. Chosen by God for a reason. And if they did not make an attempt to dare God to prove in faith what God could do, then probably, just probably, they were going to be stuck where they were forever. C.S. Lewis, a Christian apologetic, said, "Do not dare not to dare." Say after me, "Do not dare not to dare." He's trying to say, dare God. He's trying to say, do not place a limitation on God. God is not your classmate. God is not from your race. God is not your brother. He's not limited by your mental capacities. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Psalm number 24, verse 1, I read, "For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He has established it upon the waters and upon the fountains of the way. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He who had clean hands. He who has not sworn deceitfully." The earth is the Lord's. Do not put a limit on God. And these are the chosen. Like Isaac. Like those who are of Israel but not of Israel. Like the Isaac out of the children of Abraham. But what is happening to us, the elect? Chosen for a reason. I told you yesterday, Ephesians 3:19. To the intent that the manifold wisdom of God shall be made known by the church to principalities and powers. Let me read it again. Ephesians 3 verse number 19. He says, to the intent that the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church, that is you and I, to principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Oh no, no, that is not that. Glorify God. 3:10, I beg your pardon. 3:10. But what is happening? We are the elect. Shout, I am the elect of God. Now, we are not Christians because we have a defective gene in our bodies. We are not Christians because we are accidents of biology. Or we are accidents of gene mutation. And so that would have been an interesting discovery. That when you go to Kuwait, when you go to Africa, when you go to Asia, when you go to the Americas, this same group of people behave in the same way. They dance the same dance and speak funny when they say the Holy Ghost is on them. That would be a wonderful discovery for science. We do not dance the way we do because we have a sporadic mutation in our brains. Nor do we dance and speak the way we do because we have a psychological abnormality in our brains. No, we behave the way we do and we group the way we group and we live the way we live because we are a chosen group of people. Oh, I can hear you loud, amen. We are chosen. And too much has gone into the process to choose us. You were chosen for a particular reason. The agenda of God, the purpose of God, is bigger than the vision and mission statement of any church. And I want to repeat myself for free. The purpose of God, through which he chose Jacob over Esau, even before they had sinned and they were born, is greater than the ego of any bishop and any church founder. What a pleasant discovery that the Christians in India, in the Kulu valleys of India, those in Nepal, those in Burkina Faso, they speak the same funny way and dance the same funny dance and preach the same word, and there is no genetic mutation in them. They were chosen. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 1 to 2. I read, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the saints of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, elect, chosen, and the standard of choosing was what? According to the foreknowledge of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. I continue reading. In sanctification, obedience, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Whoa. Your election was based not upon your sins or good works, not upon your race or blood type, but according to the foreknowledge, God's omniscience, his ability to know things that have not yet happened, made God choose some people who converted at the least song they heard and the least preaching they heard, whilst others have sat by pastors and sat by evangelists and have still not converted. Some people were more inclined to be changed because God had chosen them already. Oh, glory. Give somebody high five. Tell him he's working it. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God in three things: sanctification, obedience, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. And to doubt that you are sanctified is to question the foreknowledge of God. Oh, I'm sanctified. Lift up your right hand and shout, I'm sanctified. Elect for obedience, to question that you can live in obedience to the word of God, is to insult the integrity of God's omniscience that chose you. Lift up your right hand and say, I am obedient to the word of the Lord. Some of you trust and believe your pastors more than the word of God. It's an error. Three, for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. I'm preaching it, sister. Come on. Yeah, glory. Forgive. Hallelujah. Amen. Elect for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. It's not anybody who can make use of the blood of Jesus. Oh, one day I mentioned this name and used the blood, and a girl that could not speak nor could hear began to hear and began to speak. It is not everybody that can make use or harness the power in the blood, but you have been elected for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. I want you to rise up and begin to sprinkle the blood in your homes. Rise up now and prophesy the blood of Jesus over your families and prophesy it over the church, because you have been elected according to the foreknowledge for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Give somebody half a. Take your seats, people of God. Tell the person, don't go, don't climb yet. Just wait, just wait, just wait. Hallelujah. It's all right. It's all right. To question your sanctification, your obedience, and your ability to use the blood for signs and wonders is to question the foreknowledge of God. You are elected, chosen for a reason. Chosen for a reason. Hallelujah. You were chosen for a reason. Skip down another chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. He says something again about the reason why we are chosen. Verse number 9, I read. But ye are a chosen generation. Say, I'm chosen. A royal priesthood. An holy nation. A peculiar people. Called forth to show his glory. Of him who took you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You who once were not a people, but have now become a people. 10. You who did not have mercy, but have now received mercy. Shout mercy. You who once were not a people, but have now become a people. How come that you got saved and that lady you went to disco with? I don't want to look at any woman's face. Let me look in your face. The woman you went to disco with never got saved. They preach the same gospel to you. You got saved, and you see, you have been elected for a reason. You are chosen for a reason. And it has nothing to do with your good works or your bad works. I don't propagate sin, but I'm trying to tell you that as long as you are in Christ Jesus, those little issues will be dealt with. Oh, glory. They will be dealt with. If God should place a sin x-ray before preachers, you will marvel. But Jacob and Esau, before they were born, before they had known right from wrong, God said, so that the purpose of God, according to election, my stand, I choose Jacob. He's chosen us before we have known good or bad. So even though Jacob was a liability to his father, he was an asset to God, because his choice was not based on the brevity of his life, but on the advantage of God's divine omniscience, because he can see 50 years from today. And so he did not care whether the guy began as a supplanter. God, in his foreknowledge, knew he would end up as a prince with God. So he chose him. Shout, I'm chosen. Tell the other person sitting by you, be careful. I'm royal blood. Doubt, I'm royal blood. Strike the door for me. When Jesus sets in, a new life will begin. You will never be the same again. When Jesus sets in, a new life will begin. Charlie, I'm on fire. You will never be the same again. You were chosen. You see, he chose you before you committed your first sin. In mathematics, it makes that sin negligible. I am not pushing you into perpetual sin, but I am magnifying the importance of the election according to God's purpose. We shall stand not because of your works or of good works, but because of his foreknowledge. The Hebrew word is inhunumu. Ohunechi. That's the Hebrew word. He saw far beyond. He saw far beyond. Give somebody high five. Because when they began, everybody was going to write Jacob off when how he began. But it was not about how he began. Because when God said, I did not want you to intermarry with these people, those were the women Esau decided to marry. And not only one, he married about three. When he was marrying them, Jacob was sleeping on stones. when he was having children, Jacob was crossing Jordan, going towards where God wanted him to go. The liability of man became an asset for God. Why? Because he was predestined by God's ihunumu, his foreknowledge. We are called by God, my dear. Romans 8:28 says something about the call. Let's read it together. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are, no. It's not just to them who are called. Bring the man in front a little bit. I'm promoting him quickly. Bring him in front a bit. Bring him in front a bit. Hear the word of the Lord. For saith the Spirit of the Lord to my servant whom I have called. 3 months from today, I will lift you up to a place of great honor. As you preach my word and speak it, signs and wonders shall follow you. What a way to enter church service. For we know that all things work together. Oh, I feel like breaking it down. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For we know that all things amalgamate for the good of them that love God, them who are. No, there is a word before called. Who are. Now it refers to a particular group of people. Who are the called? I bet you haven't seen it before. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I see a coming together for your good. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Shout, I am the called. Shout, I am the called. Shout, I am the called. And he's going to talk more about the called. He says, for whom he foreknew, glory to God, the Hebrew word, for whom he foreknew, those he predestined. It means he determined their path before they were born. There is a popular thing that is growing like a cancer in Africa, Ghana, where I come from, when they say God is Shebre Sisafo, that's another Hebrew for one that changes destiny. God does not change destiny. God will fix your destiny because it was predetermined before you were born. And you don't go to some service and one self-styled prophet who has no general overseer will come and say, I see God trying to change your destiny. Liar, 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 liar. For whom he foreknew, them he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might have preeminence over them all. Moreover, those he predestined, them he called, and to those he called, them he justified, and for those he justified, them he glorified. 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? Who is he that shall lay a charge against God's elect? It is God that has called. Yea, God that blessed. Wow, I feel the anointing. What shall we say to these things? What shall we say? Let me break that down. What shall we say to the fact that there are a group of people who God in his foreknowledge knows? Wow. No, I'm not talking about Obama. I'm talking about God. And before you existed, he knew. Ask the parents of murderers. whether the night they had coitus, they said to themselves that tonight we are conceiving an armed robber. Oh, tonight, hello baby, tonight we're gonna conceive a thief, one who does not believe in God. We are going to conceive an iconoclast. Forgive my tough words. A person who opposes established traditions. Tonight, baby. Say, what is it? Tonight we're conceiving a thief. So why did some have believers and some did not? Foreknowledge. And it was not based upon the premise of their brevity of life, but because he could see life that they had not yet lived and realize that these people will align themselves and take God's purpose greater than theirs, he decided to side with them. So the author of Romans 8:31 is saying, I've told you that these people are special. They are predestined. And now what shall I say to these things? That God knew some people and did not know others. That God predestined some people to look like Jesus and he left others. That God called these people and God glorified them. And that if it was not enough, God justified them. Then he says in the 33, who shall lay a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is risen, and he is seated at the right hand side of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall famines, shall persecutions, shall tribulations? He goes on and says, nay, but in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. You were chosen. You were truly chosen. God wants to use your life to make a statement. And it's high time we step out of the security of our comfort and dare God. Do not dare not to dare God. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. I tell you a story about one elect man who belittled his election. His name is Abraham. Abraham enjoyed the comfort of his father. His father was so rich, it's called Terah. In fact, Abraham had so much security that when he married, he decided to take his wife to go and live with his father. And it was in his 70s. Say, what a shock. Do we do the prolonged S? What a shock. Give somebody high five. Say, God have mercy. Hallelujah. I know I'm exciting the lighthouse people. What a shock. Glory to God. Every wise young pastor will love that man. Did you see the building he has built? That school. It is more than a university. And he says it should be for a Bible school. I've not seen another wise man in the world like that man. And that victory is victory for the body of Christ. But as usual, you have some Philips and Judases who will still not appreciate that God's eternal purpose is greater than the mission statement of any church. We are the called. When the trumpet shall sound, there will be no segregation. We are the called. Presby, Methodist, Lighthouse, Action, Central, Jesus Generation, we are the called. Leave your comfort and enter into the solitude of the unknown. And that is when you will begin to foment, to tease great companionship with God. God told Abraham when he was living in Haran, that was the first place they lived before they moved to Mesopotamia. When they were in idolatry, God said to him, leave this place. And how come? Out of all the children of Terah who were engaged in idolatry,
God decided to choose Abraham. You know it, isn't it? Our election is according to the foreknowledge of God. If God had to favor somebody, he should have favored Lot, because the father had died. But he still went ahead and chose Abraham. Even when God spoke to him, he didn't go. So Genesis 12:1 is, people really misunderstand the scripture, but I will enlighten you. Now the Lord, what's the word after the Lord? The Lord had. It means it's not the first time he was telling him. People really like, that is not when God spoke to him. God had spoken to him and he didn't move because he was comfortable. And then his father died. And then his brother died. And he said, oh, no. I better move now. God called him, get out of your kindred, your family, your father's house, your country, into a land that I will show you. God called Abraham whilst he was in idolatry. Joshua 24:2, Joshua said to the people, now hear me, that God called your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, when they dwelt on the other side in old times, when they were worshiping other gods. Like you, God called you. One of your best friends is still an idol worshiper, but God called you. Genesis 12:1, I want to stay there now and close. He says that the Lord said to him, leave your father's house to a place where I will show you. When you step out in obedience, you remember our election is for sanctification, obedience, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. When you step out in obedience, you enter into 6 dimensions of encounters. The first one is revelation. Say revelation. The second one is effortless blessing. Say blessing. The third one is promotion. Say promotion. The fourth one is expansion. Say expansion. The fifth one is protection. Say it after me. And then the last one is generosity. Now we take it one by one. Still on this scripture. The first one is a revelation. Jeremiah 33:3, we know that scripture. Let's read. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you. Show. There are some great things you need to know, and tonight you will know. Forgive my verbosity, but I'm speaking the word of God. One day I told people, when Saul went into the house of God to pray, and he prayed, and God did not answer him, the next thing he did was he asked his servant, do you know any other medium I can go and talk to? Then his foolish servant said, I know a witch in Endor. Be careful who follows you. The first time before he became king, he was looking for his father's donkeys. When he was tired and he was about to go, there was one wise boy that followed him and said, there is a man of God here, let's go. When he became a king, he forgot that guy, took another one who will sing praises to him. And when he said, do you know anywhere else I could go? This one who had been going to this particular witch said, I know a witch in Endor. Do not substitute God's silence with the verbosity of any man. He said, get out, step out into the unknown, and I will show you. When you take that step today, the first thing that you receive is revelation. God will begin to show you. Genesis 21 verse 19, I read, he said, and God opened the eyes of Hagar, and she saw a well of water. She drank and gave it to the boy, and he lived. When what you need to help you live is hidden from you, you can die a foolish death. But if God shall open your eyes, and I pray tonight he opens your eyes, then you will encounter the great revelations of God. The second dimension that you enter when you step into obedience is effortless blessings. He said on, I will make you. Abraham did not make himself. God made him. Proverbs 10:22, I read, it is the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. May you enter into effortless blessing. where there is a hidden hand behind you that is making you. May men see you and realize that this is not human effort. Luke 1:57-58, I read. He said, and when Elizabeth's time was due to bring forth a child, and her neighbors saw what great things the Lord had done for her, they rejoiced with her. What great mercy the Lord has shown to her, they rejoice with her. May your neighbors and relatives rejoice with you, because an hidden hand will be making you. Say, God, make me, make me, make me, make me, make me. I see him making you. The third dimension you will enter in is promotion. He said, I will make you a great nation. He said, I'll make your name great and I'll make you a great nation. Now, when a single man, your name becomes great. Wow. May your name become great. 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 Psalm 71:21, I read, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. May God increase your greatness and comfort you on every side. The fourth one is expansion. He says that, and I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. You can never be a blessing when you have not been blessed. I pray that God shall expand you. Isaiah 54:1, I read. He says, sing, O barren, you who did not conceive. For many are the children of the desolate than that of the married woman. He says, oh, strengthen thy cause, lengthen thy steps. Do not spare, for you are about to break forth to the right hand and to the left hand. Say the Lord, I will cause you to forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will not remember them anymore. May God expand you. The fifth dimension you will enter in is protection. He said, and I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. Please lift up your right hand.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, Adam. You
are worthy to be praised.
Let's put it down. I'm about to finish now. Is that? Then I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. That is one blessing he could never get by staying with his father. Anybody who makes a mistake to talk about you, anybody who makes a silly mistake to attempt to bring their gods into the picture and curse you, they have cut their life short. Because there is a blessing hanging on your head that says, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. It's not you that is cursing, it's God that is cursing. One day, one young boy called David took his little stones and was attempting to fight a giant. That was his little effort. And the giant made an arrow and opened his mouth and said, you come to me with sticks and stones, am I a dog? Now he opened his mouth and said that, I curse you by the gods of the Philistines. And David said, oh, well, it's my time to speak if you have brought God into this. This was a battle of men, and I knew I did not stand the chance. I took 5 stones because I thought I would miss the first time, the second time, the third time, and the fourth time. By which, by the time you take 3 steps, I would have tried 5 stones. If it doesn't work, I'll run and hide behind Eliab. And now you are now bringing your God into the picture. Then here we go. It is my turn to speak. I also come against you in the name of the God of Israel. Everything he did after that was just formality. How come a stone that cannot kill a dog is thrown and it's able to find a space between the helmet of a 9-foot man? And let alone, instead of falling backwards, he fell forwards. It means the stone that hit him this way was not what pushed him this way. If a man falls forward, it means he was hit behind. The hand of God smote Goliath from his back, struck him down. May your enemies fall first flat before you. That is protection. The last one is generosity. He says, in you, all the nations of the world, all the families shall be blessed. May your home be blessed because of you. May your families be blessed because of you. Glory to God. I want to pray for some of you and prophesy to you and minister the healing grace to you. But you remember I told you the story of three groups of people who were stranded. The first was Jesus in John 6, verse 4 to 6. And when you read on, the Bible says, when they dared God, Jesus took the bread, the little. He prayed over it. He broke it, and there was a multiplication. And five loaves turned into 5,000. And two fishes turned into 5,000. And everybody ate, and there were a surplus of 12 baskets. I prophesy to you that when you will dare God and step out in belief, go write that exam. Go for that interview again. Give that marriage another chance again. Give that young boy another chance again. Dare God to see what he will do. For when you will dare him, you will receive the miracle of multiplication. Five loaves turned into 5,000. What happened to Jonathan? 1 Samuel 14:6. When you read it, it says that, and when verse number 7, there about the armor bearer said, do all that is in thy heart. Jonathan said in the verse 6, for there is no restraint with God to save with few or with many. I tell you, there is no limitation with God to deliver with few or with many. So I don't know what you have in your hand, but do not dare not to dare. Take that step and you receive the miracle. And then his armor bearer said, do all that is in thy heart. And the Bible says, when they crawled upwards, Jonathan with his armor bearer, and the Philistines started coming. He says, when they got to Jonathan, they fell down before him, anointed. He didn't touch them. It's in the Bible, 1 Samuel 14. Yeah, go on, you will see it. Go on. He said, and they fell before Jonathan. He didn't touch them. And anybody who got to him fell. Then his armor bearer will slay him. They get to him, then they fall. Then his armor bearer will kill them. That is what God did. And what happened to the leprous man in 2 Kings 7, verse number 3? They said, why is he here till we die? From verse 5 onwards, the Bible says, when they entered the camp of the Syrians, they were surprised that there was nobody there. May God surprise you. Because God made the leprous feet of four men sound like 1,000 horses. If you dare, he will multiply. His grace will find you. One day Jesus was walking on water. And then 12 potential sea walkers were in a boat. And he said to them, come, it is me. 12 potential sea walkers would have added their name to Guinness Book of Records. 12 men. When he called them, only one chose to dare. And if you are a science person like I am, getting out of a boat means that he had to put his hand on the edge of it and scale over. And that distance he climbs up would cause the gravitational force to be exerted even more. So he was more prone to sinking with the first jump than with the walking. But he jumped, whoom, and he stood. May you stand. Peter walked and sank. Forget his sinking. Where was Jesus when he said come? He was far away from the boat. So he walked a little bit. And when he started sinking, well, how did Jesus pull him out? It means he had gotten very close to Jesus. And after Jesus pulled him out, did he put him at his back for them to go to the boat? No. So they walked again on sea to the boat. And the Bible says when they entered the boat, all of the other 11 potential sea workers, they bowed. They forgot that they were bowing to Peter also. May your colleagues bow to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Stand to your feet. Shout, I believe it. I receive it. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Say, I am chosen for a reason. You are chosen for a reason. How are you? You are chosen. Begin to thank God for choosing you. Thank God for choosing you. I want to hear you. Thank God. There are people, in spite of everything that we have in the world today, they will never still repent. But you have. Thank God for choosing you. Thank God for choosing you. Thank God for choosing you.